Religion on the Line, 2 hours of exploration into the world of spirituality. Whether it's the basics of faith or the hot button issues of the day, talk about it now, 576-7710. And now, Religion on the Line.
Good morning. You've got Religion on the Line here at KCMO Radio, 710 AM, 103.7 FM. This is a glorious time to engage in conversation about the intersection between Humanity Highway and Divinity Drive here at KCMO Radio. We're here. You're there. Thanks for listening. Really, really, thanks for listening. But do call in at 576-7710. 576-7710. I'm Reverend Robert Lee Hill, Minister Emeritus of Community Christian Church, along with
Bill Scholl, Social Justice Consultant for the Archdiocese of Kansas City, Kansas, along with
Rabbi Michael Zedek, Rabbi Emeritus, Temple B'nai Yehuda. And folks, I'm in the studio. Come on, pick up those phones. Give me a thrill. Dial 776-5, what is it?
576. Yeah.
Well, in the meantime, back on script, Zedek.
The disorientation from being in the studio. Yeah.
Along with me in the studio is Steve Melcher.
Mincher.
So, yes. Change your name. I can't be wrong.
Okay, I'm Steve Mincher.
By the way, I had a real good friend named Steve Melcher.
Oh, good. From KCPT's Beyond Belief.
And Michael, I think we're beginning to light up. You may have stimulated some calls.
I think Michael's been lighting up.
Yeah. You know, there was a great memoir by Mary Carr, who's written, by the way, a wonderful book called The Art of Memoir. Mm.
She's written about three of them.
Yeah, three of them. The Liars Club, one, I can't remember what chair, but one of them is called Lit. Mm. Now, she's a professor at Syracuse, but she's also a recovering alcoholic. Mm. And so Lit has a multiple of meanings in the thing. So, Lit.
I want to hear something about what Steve has been doing.
Absolutely. And I want to give a shout out again. I did it in the first hour, but I want to give it in the second hour in case they're listening or not listening. Hopefully they are. The Country Club Christian Church Men's Group meets on a Thursday evening. And this last Thursday, I was privileged to share with them a personal struggle. And it was a very wondrous and engaging time. They filled the back room at the Well near 74th and something in Warnell.
They want to sponsor the show, folks.
By the way, if you don't drink alcohol, there's plenty of other beverages there. So people in recovery, they can be there. They're part of it. It was interesting to hear reports also about people who couldn't be there that were texting in and communicating to Glenn, "Oh, I'm so sorry. I'll be there next week." Oh. So Adam Hamilton is going to be their guest this coming Thursday. I was their guest last week. It was a marvelous conversation. Glenn Miles, your wonderful pastor, hosts this occasion and picked up my tab. So thank you, Glenn. Or somebody picked up my tab. It was a wonderful time. It was just an hour of conversation, men meeting in a different location than a normal ecclesial context. So
meeting in their normal location.
Well, you know what? I think that was the point. Uh-huh. This came up out of a retreat that they had had. Mm-hmm. Some four dozen men or more were at a retreat, and they said, "Hey, what can we do?" This is not a forever group, but I think that they go through a couple of weeks in May. And thank you, Country Club Christian Church Men. It was a wonderful time this past Thursday, and blessings on your work into the future. Just had a text from a person connected to that group that said they will sponsor us.
I
don't know if that was meant in good humor or in all seriousness. So I don't know. Steve, tell us what's on your mind and heart. What have you been doing?
Well, our Beyond Belief project, we're really lucky this year to be able to connect with Mindy Corporan and her 7 Days initiative, which just ended on Monday. Mindy is the person, as you may know, whose father and son were both killed in one day in April 2014 by the anti-Semite F. Glenn Miller out in Leawood at the Jewish Community Center and at the Shalom
Village Shalom.
Village Shalom Retirement Community. And also the Lamano family, who also lost someone that day, is very much involved in that. And so Beyond Belief signed up to be a media sponsor and was involved in a lot of the activities there. And it was very, very exciting to be associated with someone who so deeply cares about her community. Wednesday in the Kansas City Star, there was a fabulous editorial that talked about how exciting and how important and meaningful all of the 7 days activities had been, and said that they could go a little further, that if they would take all of the good energy and all of the passion and bring that into Kansas City rather than to be out kind of in the suburbs and really dig in on some of the intractable problems we have here in terms of race and class and inequity, that a real difference could be made. And I immediately wrote to the folks there and said, what a fabulous idea. Of course that's what you want to do, and I'm hoping to hear back from them. The other thing we did this week, out at the Church of the Resurrection, there was a panel on politics and religion, everybody's two favorite things, the things you're not supposed to talk about at dinner. And I was particularly interested in the comments of Wallace Hartsfield, who was on the panel.
Wallace Hartsfield Jr.?
Wallace Hartsfield Jr.
Okay.
He had once told me, and I don't think I'm telling tales out of school, that he didn't want to be that guy, you know. Mm-hmm. But there he was sitting on the side of the stage. He was clearly the African-American whose point of view.
It was clear.
it was clear. But Wallace, every now and then, would chime in and really get to the heart of things. That's why I love him so much, about the dominant narrative. Mm. He likes to use that kind of language. And in terms of politics and religion, the dominant narrative is all in one direction, and Wallace likes to say that his folks aren't always heard.
Well, there's an example of an apple not falling very far from a tree.
His dad is
a good friend.
And he's a great scholar, too. Wallace Hartsfield Jr., Sr., is a scholar without the PhD credential from an academic institution, but he certainly has more than earned the appellation of doctor. He's one of the doctors of the faith, if you will, in the greater Kansas City area. And Wallace Hartsfield Jr., I mean, it's not often that you have Walter Brueggemann on your committee reviewing your thesis. So,
for those who don't know, that's a major name in scholarship.
That is a feather in your cap if somebody of that stature is reviewed. You know, Wallace is supremely brilliant.
It was great to see him on the stage and really saying the important things. And the last thing I wanted to talk about, and maybe we can talk about this a little more later, is the project that we're starting now, which is our Easter to Eid congregation visiting. So Easter happened a little while ago. There's been Passover, and Ramadan ends with Eid in July. And we would like to find congregations in the Kansas City area who want to go and visit another congregation. Mm. This is already happening all over town.
Of course.
And we would like to be there.
Did you go on one with Marcus Haley?
Well, yes. Oh, my gosh. Marcus, his church went visiting. Marcus is an African-American pastor, but his church is largely white. They crossed the line over
St. Andrew Episcopal and went to a Black Baptist congregation.
And the kind of music and preaching and all that brought those two groups together was so meaningful and so exciting.
So does Beyond Belief want to become a catalyst for this?
Yes.
And if somebody were listening and wanted their community to perhaps enlist,
absolutely.
What would they do?
They could sign up on our calendar. It's very simple to go to kcpt.org/the two words together, Beyond Belief, kcpt.org/Beyond Belief. Click the little part where it says sign up for this kind of a visiting and worship. And what I like to call it is for worship and fellowship and volunteering and all the kinds of things that you would like to do to learn about someone else's life and faith.
And for those folks in religious communities, about a third of them won't know how to do that. So they need to get to somebody who does know how to do that on the internet and do it for them, right?
Absolutely.
Or calling KCPT.
Absolutely. Yeah. Call me. Write to me. My email is kind of funny. Even though my name is Steve Mencher, the email is beyondbelief at kcpt.org. So imagine that my name is Beyond Belief, and just write that into an email, and I will help you out with that.
And there's a phone number.
Right, absolutely. The best phone number, I think, to call is, I'll tell everybody my cell phone, I don't mind, 301.
I would do that! You're going to get solicitation.
Good. 301-580-6722. So call me up, I'll hook you up.
All right.
Steve, curiosity.
Please.
You know what? We got to take a break. We'll be right back. All right. Right after the break. We'll be right back after these messages here at Religion on the Line.
Visit overheaddoorkansascity.com or call 816-512-1512.
2016 began with a spate of weak economic data for the U.S., and that's jolted every market. But we've had much less frightening data lately. So is the economy really slowing down? My name is Chris Butler, portfolio manager with Butler Lands and Wagler and host of the Capitalist Pigs radio show. To be honest, the economy has already slowed down and different parts of the U.S. economy are arguably already in a recession. Investors need an approach to growth investing that can perform regardless of the health of the economy. And that's exactly what our all-weather growth portfolio aspires to do. The combination of trend following, the ability to bet against markets, and extreme diversification provide the best chance for investors to navigate any economy, expansion or recession, and in any stock market environment, bull or bear. You can learn more about our all-weather approach by downloading our free report at investontrack.com. Again, the website, investontrack.com.
Attention Chiefs Kingdom. Give your child the experience of a lifetime with the Kansas City Chiefs Kids Club. Join now and receive free invites to exclusive Kids Club events, like the fun, activity-filled football frenzy on the Chiefs practice field, movie night on the field at Arrowhead, and trick-or-treat bash hosted at the stadium. When you sign up, you'll also receive a Kids Club welcome kit in the mail with special gear just for Chiefs Kids Club members. To sign up, visit chiefs.com/kidsclub or call 816-920-4829.
Be a part of Chiefs Kingdom like never before with Chiefs Kingdom Rewards, a program where you can earn and redeem points for exclusive Chiefs prizes, like one-of-a-kind Arrowhead experiences, sideline access, jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and more. And you can earn points by doing things you already do, like watching games, attending training camp, and keeping up with the latest news from the Kingdom. Download the Chiefs mobile app to get started, or sign up at ChiefsKingdomRewards.com. Chiefs Kingdom Rewards, where Chiefs fans go to play and win.
Sergeant Alberto Velasco faced an uncertain future after serving his country.
At the age of 27, I was involved in a motor vehicle accident. I have two kids and a wife to support, you know, where to turn. I was going through a really bad phase of my life. Mentally and physically, I was just done. And I don't know where I would be without paralyzed veterans.
Winston Woodard III, Paralyzed Veterans of America.
My job as a service officer with the Paralyzed Veterans of America is to ensure these veterans have what they need to thrive and move forward with their lives. And we are there to assist, providing expertise with VA benefits, assistance, and advocacy.
They know everything there is about benefits. Paralyzed Veterans have helped me out from getting self-sufficient to getting me a new job. Paralyzed Veterans changed my life 1,000%.
Paralyzed Veterans of America serves hundreds and thousands of wounded veterans, and we're going to continue to be their partners for life.
Thank you, Paralyzed Veterans. Your support made me whole again.
Learn more at pva.org. A public service message from Paralyzed Veterans America.
Hundreds of thousands of veterans have taken off their uniforms and put them away, carefully packed and safely stowed. But for some veterans, the uniform isn't so easily removed. The emotions experienced while serving continue to weigh on them. Life after service is different. Many veterans find transitioning difficult, and daily life is no longer as enjoyable as it once was. Some feel overwhelmed and lost. But that uncertainty doesn't take away from their strength and courage, nor does it take away from the sense of duty veterans carry with them. The transition from service is different for everyone. If you are a veteran going through a difficult time, or know one who is, the power of one person, one connection, one act of compassion can make a difference. For free 24/7 confidential support, call the Veterans Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1. Or visit veteranscrisisline.net.
Talk. That's what we do at KCMO Talk Radio 103.7 FM, AM 710.
Good morning, and thank you for dialing us in. Thank you for allowing us to be part of your Sunday morning here on Religion on the Line. 710 AM, 103.7 FM. Thank you. Thank you. Religion on the Line is at it. And we're glad that you are at us. Here we are. I'm Reverend Robert Lee Hill, Minister Emeritus of Community Christian Church, along with
Bill Scholl, Social Justice Consultant for the Archdiocese of Kansas City, Kansas, along with
Rabbi Michael Zedek, Rabbi Emeritus Temple B'nai Yehuda, along with
Steve Mencher from KCPT's Beyond Belief Project.
And before we went to break, I said I wanted to get a question to Steve, and Bob so rudely said we had to go to break. So my question, in the time you've been in the greater Kansas City area on this project, what's some of the surprising things you've seen? Didn't expect, wow, that's excitement or disappointment?
Oh, that what a great question.
Oprah Show.
There's one, let me tell you a story. About a woman I met last week. She's a 92-year-old woman who has been going to Grandview Park Presbyterian Church since 1941.
Mm.
Okay, so she comes every Sunday to church, you know, and I'm sorry to tell you.
Religiously.
I'm sorry to tell you that she drives herself there, and I jumped in the car with her after. She does a pretty good job, although she was testing me when we drive. I took the camera in to show her driving, and she says, "We're going to beat that truck." And she took a left turn in front of the truck, and yes, I'm still here. Yeah. We did beat the truck, but she's a great driver. So what was I talking to her about? Well, this particular church, I don't know if any of you are familiar with it. It's run by Rick Behrens, mm-hmm. who is one of the most active persons in the area in terms of immigrant rights. And he makes it so that every Sunday, every single word that is talked about is said and sung in that church is sung in two languages. The service lasts quite a while because it's done in English and done in Spanish. It's not a Spanish service that happens in the basement or afterwards or before. And so here I am talking to 92-year-old Phyllis Rowe, and I'm looking for, you know, my expectation is she's going to be impatient. She's going to be disappointed. This is not the church she joined in 1941. And what the heck are they doing with this Spanish stuff? Silly me, because when I asked her, she just had this smile on her face and said she drives there every Sunday because that's her family. Mm. And it doesn't matter that other people are not like her. It doesn't matter that they've come from Mexico and Ecuador and every other place of the people who live in that neighborhood in KCK. She comes because it's her family. So that was a surprise. The other surprise very quickly was I met a woman, Virginia Oropesa, last week. She was telling us about her daughter's quinceañera and just what a fabulous interview we did with her, mostly in Spanish. And then as we are leaving, she says, oh, by the way, she says, I was one of the artists who made this mural. And she takes me to that mural in KCK that has the complete history of Mexicans in the area, in that neighborhood, in Argentine. In Argentine. Uh-huh. And, you know, she's speaking to me in her best English. She's doing the best she can. And she says, oh, and there are people who are living by the tracks, and I'm trying to help her. And I say, oh, they live on the side of the tracks and so forth. And what she's actually trying to tell me is they were living in the cars, in the box cars, the Mexican laborers there.
Yeah.
And so she was talking to me about her artwork and about her life, and full of surprises. Mm-hmm. So those are a couple of things. We can talk more about the racial divide and everything else that I found here that was stunning and surprising. But I love people.
Yeah. I'm shocked.
You've been well. Stephen, you've been welcomed very warmly, and you know what you're doing, and you do it well. And we're glad to. You're always to be included, also you're very respectful when a camera is appropriate, when it's not. And you've enlightened us about, for example, the lecture on science by the priest over in KCK. Was it at KU or another university? Where was it?
We did it at Queen of the Holy Rosary Parish, and it was with the Sustainable Sanctuary Coalition. So it was Monsignor Stuart Sweatland. Yeah. And he was talking about Pope Francis's
take on global warming and the care of the earth. So.
I was so pleased that, you helped make available that video to see all of the folks on our website could see it. And that's part of our Beyond Belief project is to find the surprises. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, we've got some callers to go to.
I think
all
we
right.
should do something about
Jane,
it.
Yeah. Jane, you've got religion on the line.
Good morning. I was calling in reference to the call or the conversation that you had with Mike earlier. And I was wondering if you don't agree with what God says is wrong, or if you're not agreeing with what God says is wrong, then what is your criteria for right and wrong?
Mm-hmm. So Jane, what statement did you hear on the show where that brought that into question? Like, did you hear something that was said that you thought that's a wrong statement that God would disagree with?
The conversation that you had with Mike.
Okay, so Mike's what I'm hearing you say is that Mike was taking the position that your gendered self should be the same as your biological sex, and that true compassion would be to okay. true compassion would be to insist on that. So if someone who says, "Well, even though biologically I'm male, I feel like a woman." True Christian compassion would be, no, you're not, and I want to help you with that. Do I understand you correctly?
Well, I've heard people call in more than once regarding the transgendered issue, and you all have brought in the homosexual issue when they're wanting to talk about the transgendered issue, and God clearly says in the Bible that homosexuality is wrong. Now, it may not be the worst of all the wrongs, but he does say it's wrong.
The action. So sexual activity between two people of the same gender is wrong.
Well, actually, as long as we're going to play play literalism, what it says is sexual activity, the way a man lies with a woman with another man, which is not possible, is the error. There's nothing said in the Hebrew Bible about lesbianism whatsoever. If we're going to be literal.
Jane, we are quickly getting to a point of divide or difference that we've gotten to before. What you have...
So are you unable to answer the question?
Well, no, we're trying to get to
what is your criteria for what is right and wrong?
And we are getting to that. So it may not be the criteria that you accept. It may be not the criteria. What we're beginning to say is you say that God says. We would say the Bible suggests, and these are the citations. There's six of them in all of the Bible with regard to homosexuality. And Michael says there's not one related to women or lesbianism. So what do we do about that? It's clear to you, but we want to suggest it's not clear. And by the way, finally, there's other things in the Bible that if taken literally, we would be in a barbaric society right now.
So, the New Testament
has given us a different take on some of the things that are in the Old Testament as far as barbarity and how we treat sinners. We're supposed to love the sinner and hate the sin.
Yeah. Jane, what we also have, I think, probably...
Jane, hold on. I'm sorry about this. Just hold on, and we'll get right back to you after these messages, okay? Hold on.
My husband needed treatment at MD Anderson in Houston.
Amanda talking about her husband, Don.
A social worker told me about Angel Flight Central.
Angel Flight Central serves people in need by arranging charitable flights for healthcare or other humanitarian purposes.
It was everything. It was a way for him to get better.
Visit angelflightcentral.org.
It was a way for him to get the help that he needed.
angelflightcentral.org. Angel Flight Central. Giving hope wings.
We served our country like those before us.
You know, it was a dangerous era. All of Vietnam was dangerous.
The carnage of war left an indelible mark on me.
We came back and built lives. As time went on, we faced new challenges and found support to handle them.
I went to the VA, talked to my doctor.
I started doing groups. I started doing one-on-one counseling.
At MakeTheConnection.net, you can hear our stories and find tools and services available to you.
CBS News Update.
Thank you guys very much. Thank you for being here. We appreciate it. It's not easy to lose someone that you love.
Singer Sheila E. greeting fans who gathered outside Prince's home in Minnesota.
The remains of Prince were cremated reportedly on Friday night. Then yesterday, what's being called a celebration of his life took place at Prince's compound, Paisley Park. Close friends and relatives showed up, including his sister and musician Sheila E. Prince's publicist says there will be a musical celebration of Prince at a later date. Steve Futterman, CBS.
I think it's beautiful to see all types of people come in. I love the notes and the little kids out here, the children coming in, all the different generations, and it's just beautiful.
That's one of many fans who've been gathering outside of Paisley Park to pay their respects. Hundreds are expected again today. CBS News Update, I'm Heather Bosch.
The KCMO forecast from KCTV 5.
Clear start to the day, but showers and storms are possible later this afternoon and evening with a high of 80 degrees. 60 overnight and a dry Monday, 77 degrees your high with partly to mostly cloudy skies. Next chance of showers and storms Tuesday with a high of 74. And KCTV 5 meteorologist Jesse Hawila.
Carson in the morning.
We want to make it more stringent. We want to add some new dimensions to the screening process to make it more effective. The president said he's going to veto it. He says he's going to veto it.
This is the problem here. I think everybody's acting emotionally right now.
No, we're not.
You are too, Rob.
No, I'm not.
It's just unfettered emotion.
Yes, you are. Such a jerk. Now shut up, Dennis.
Dennis, stop it.
Oh, stay out of this.
Quit in this.
Idiot.
Everybody is emotional.
Boop.
Oh, no. Then it shot Rob with an imaginary finger gun.
Carson in the morning, weekday 6 till 10.
You may be one of the 1 in 26 Americans who will develop epilepsy in their lifetime. To help the millions of people who experience their first seizure each year and the physicians who care for them, the American Academy of Neurology and the American Epilepsy Society have released a new guideline on how to treat a first seizure. It shows there is strong evidence that for adults who have had a first seizure, the risk of another seizure is greatest within the first 2 years. The risk ranges from about a 1 in 5 chance to nearly a 1 in 2 chance. But the guideline also found that taking epilepsy drugs immediately after a first seizure may reduce the risk of having another seizure. If you have had a first seizure, it is important that you talk with your neurologist and have a meaningful conversation so that your individual circumstances, balance of risks and benefits, and personal preferences are understood and accounted for before starting any treatment. To learn more about epilepsy, visit AAN.com. That's AAN.com.
I love being a part of Action Team. It helps me help other people. It helps me feel good.
Being a part of a team always feels good. Go for it. Don't even hesitate.
For more than a decade, Major League Baseball players and action teams of high school students have been working together to train and inspire the next generation of volunteers.
Once you get there and realize how much you can change someone's life, it's one of the best feelings in the world.
Just that simple act that takes, you know, 5 or 10 minutes of your time is making a difference and is transforming someone else's life.
All-star Giancarlo Stanton and Chris Capuano join Action Team captains to make a difference in their communities. And you can too.
Just try it. Just go to one event, one Action Team event.
If we all show up together, that's what it's all about. It's not just one person, it's a group, it's a team.
It's been incredibly rewarding for me. It'll just make you feel so good about yourself.
I'd do anything to convince you just to be a part of this.
For more information, go to actionteam.org.
Hey guys, it's Carson. Have a glorious weekend. Make sure to take our podcast with you. A great week. The Subway Bandit captured in KC. Caitlyn Jenner came to Jared's neighborhood. The Donald took New York and the loss of a pop icon. Go to KCMOTalkRadio.com. Look for Carson in the morning. We'll see you Monday.
Go Good morning. Thank you for allowing us to be part of your Sunday morning here at Religion on the Line, KCMO Radio, 710 AM, 103.7 FM. I'm Reverend Robert Lee Hill, Minister Emeritus of Community Christian Church, along with
Bill Scholl, Social Justice Consultant for the Archdiocese of Kansas City, Kansas, along with
Rabbi Michael Zedek, Rabbi Emeritus Temple B'nai Yehuda, along with
Steve Mencher from KCPT's Beyond Belief Project from Local Or Finding America.
And we've been talking with Jane.
Jane, you still there?
Yes, I am.
Okay. So let me suggest the following. You've, I think, articulated not just a particular conviction, but a particular approach to sacred literature, which we do not all have in common. And that's one of the areas of clarity, maybe, but probably unbridgeable difference, which is at best something we'll have to either learn to live with each other or we'll learn to yell at each other. I don't know.
You're not able to answer my question. I'm asking you,
Jane,
what God says is wrong.
Jane.
So what is your criteria for
Jane.
What is right and wrong?
He's getting to the criteria
Jane,
right now.
Jane, I'm really sorry that you're so convinced that I don't have the right to give a preamble to my comment, which is based in the heart of my comment, which is I don't take the Bible the same way you do. For me, it is a foundation text for the tradition that I am part of, but it is not the final word on that tradition and where it's going and where it hopes to grow to. We have a different notion. I don't worship the text, which from my perspective, if I were going to be polemical, is what you're doing because you're saying it's frozen in time. It is not. It is a way of understanding how God is able to be experienced. Most beautifully, most effectively, for sure. But
what is your criteria for what's right and wrong?
Jane, here's my criteria. It's called the quadrilateral. It was developed by Wesley. There's different interpretations even of the quadrilateral, that it's scripture, tradition, experience, and reason.
Yes.
Okay? So those four things taken together, as best we do in all humility, in our fragility and brokenness, we make our way to understanding these social issues of our times. That's as succinctly as I can put it. But the thing is, how we take Scripture always ends up being the dividing point where God said it, I believe it, that settles it, is one position. I'm not saying that's yours necessarily, but that is in the general public one way, but the quadrilateral is another way. It is another way. I think it's the way that makes most sense to me.
So you get to decide what's right and wrong.
No, you didn't hear him, Jane. What he said was he's part of an ongoing conversation that includes the text and tradition and an effort to try to understand what is being said to in our time and our day. You shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. You shall be doesn't mean you already are. It means you've got work to do. All of us have work to do. That's the conviction at the heart of Judaism. At any rate, Bill, would you want to comment?
Well, I mean, you know, how do we determine what's right and wrong? I like that quadrilateral. That's so. I mean, the Catholic Church would say God writes in two books, right? There's revelation, divine revelation, the deposit of faith, and then there's also natural reason, the book of creation. So we believe that nature acts for an end, and you can deem God's purpose by looking at nature and its purpose. And so this is what St. Paul, our understanding of St. Paul, when he says the law of God is written in your hearts. So we believe that while certain laws are revealed by God, like murder's wrong and stealing's wrong, we also would say as Catholics, well, you don't need God to tell you that it's wrong. I mean, you could figure that on your own. So, Jane, in your with regard to your question of homosexuality, you know, the church would say, well, Scripture clearly teaches that it's wrong. I mean, and its interpretation of Scripture, the Catholic Church would say it's always been held to homosexual activity has always been wrong. Now recently the Church is, as I would say, probably in the last 50 years or so, said now has made a distinction between the inclination and the activity. So you can have profound same-sex attraction. You can have profound desires to have sex with somebody of the same gender. And that doesn't necessarily make you a sinful person. The church would say you have a particular challenge, but really the church the Catholic Church has gone a long way to saying, you know, we don't want to shame people because they have these feelings, because, you know, guess what? We all have these feelings. We all suffer from a fallen nature. And if we're being really honest, I think we'd say the vast majority of us experience sexual desires we wish we didn't have. that we, you know, I myself would say, you know, if my sexuality was the way I wanted it, I'd have sexual attraction to just one person, and that's my wife. Sadly, when I go to the swimming pool, I find that's not always the case, and I have to have custody of my eyes. So with that being said, you know, we would look to scripture, natural law, and then also just the teaching authority to determine right and wrong. So,
and the teaching authority refers to the Catholic Church.
Yeah, so the Pope and the bishops in union with them.
So,
yeah.
Jane, you know, you've heard, that's the warrants, those are the reasons, and the Catholic Church would reserve the right to dictate to its believers, and it probably believes that's the way it is for the world. As a Protestant, I don't accept their authority, but I respect it, and I respect that that's their way. Anyway, so I think you've heard us give our warrants and the reasons why we believe, how we very, very, with fear and trembling, as Scripture says, we try to tease our way towards what is right, to understand what is right and wrong, okay?
Thank you, Jane.
Bye.
All right, and we're going to go to somebody who's called in response to Bill's suggestion. Jim, you've got religion on the line.
Good morning.
All righty. What's going on?
Well, I thought that was a good topic, and I'd like to hear you guys go around with that one.
Before we go around, do you have some particular input that you'd want to throw into the hopper?
Not at this time, no.
Okay.
But you want to talk about toxic friends?
I want to hear you guys take that one on.
Okay.
Let's hear you go around. Bill started it.
Well, I have a recommendation. It's I don't know if the book is still available. It should be. It's called Friedman's Fables, and it's by a remarkable teacher whom Bob and I studied with long and hard and had great insights from. And the particular fable, maybe if you can go to the library, so you don't have to buy the whole book. The particular fable I want you to look at is called The Curse. And it's the construct is, in effect, that some of our relationships are binds and others of our relationships are bonds. And the confusion is binds are based on our vulnerabilities and our weaknesses, and or if you want to use a psychological jargon, our neurotic selves, and bonds are based on our strengths. Toxic friendships, as I would understand it, are fundamentally ways in which we get stuck with the acting out of the unfinished work of our brokenness and find somebody else that we glob it onto and continue to keep the sore alive. That's what I would understand is going on.
I would say, before we get to the authority, the person who raised up this issue, and that would be Bill, I would say that, you know, some friendships can become toxic. And if you've ever dissolved a friendship intentionally, boy, you know how much that hurts. Or when you say to somebody who is addicted to a substance or to an activity that you cannot abide anymore, and you have cut them out of their lives because their toxicity is kind of spilling over into your life, how we love those people may be best done by distancing ourselves from them, by saying the truth in love, to use a quotation from the Apostle Paul, to say the truth in love as best we know how, and then to move on and say, it's no longer helpful for me to be in relationship with you. I will pray for you. I will the best for you. I will connect with you into the future. But for now, I need to unbind myself, to use Michael's wonderful dichotomy from Friedman. I will unbind myself to you, and we can no longer be bonded.
Yeah, and just to quote from the article I was talking about, a study by researchers at UCLA found that stressful friendships lead to significantly higher levels of a protein that causes inflammation in the body. Hmm. Over time, that can cause serious health problems, including diabetes, heart disease, and cancer. This is a quote from one of the doctors. This study is suggesting that there's more to it than just a psychological impact, that it may be related to health outcomes and diseases that are very common and very severe, said Dr. Daniel Yadiger. So I guess he was one of the participants.
It's one of those evidences of what we used to call body and mind.
Yeah.
They talk about body-mind as one word.
Yeah. Yeah. So I mean, I'm thinking like cortisol, you know, just when friendships that cause stress can release proteins and cortisol and all kinds of stuff. So when you're in a friendship that's causing you stress all the time, I one of the considerations is, you know, is this healthy? I mean, I have an obligation to maintain my health, but then the concern is, well, we're supposed to love our enemies, you know, and so how do we reconcile that? And I guess too, that'd be, you know, I would say, well, you know, you take on the armor of prayer, like St. Paul was talking about, where you have to approach a friendship like that, I think, with some degree of intentionality. I always talk to my kids about, you know, we're called to love people, but love is a mutual gift of self. And you know, the way I describe it to my kids is like, you know, when you're looking at friendships, you're kind of trying to start a lawnmower, you know, you're trying to start this mutual gift of self. So you put yourself out there and you put yourself out there and you put yourself out there. But at a certain point, you stop pulling on the string. If you find the other person is not willing to give themselves back, if you're not getting that cycle started of the mutual gift of self. So if you find yourself in a friendship where the person's always taking and they're never giving back and they're never interested in you, That's time. It's time to walk away. Not that you hate the person or whatever, but you go, I'm called to be in a loving relationship, not just because you only have so much you can give. Jim, so that's kind of how my philosophy.
Nice. Jim, we thank you for your call, but we got to go for a break. I hope that was satisfactory for you.
Well, it was leading to the right and wrong question again there. So I have a little more for you.
Well, hold on. We'll be right back, okay? We're going to take a break, pay some bills. We'll be right back after these messages.
Hey, guys, it's Rob Carson. My resolution this year is to meet as many of you KCMO listeners as I can, with a caveat. I'll bring you and your office lunch. We're teaming with Grandma's Catering. Simply go to KCMO Talk Radio, hit the contest tab, and go to Grandma's Office Invasion. Tell us why your office deserves free lunch. Be brief, be creative, you could win. Grandma's Office Catering has been serving Kansas City for over 20 years. Call by 8:30 in the morning. You can have 100 meals in 3 hours. Again, go to KCMOTalkRadio.com and enter to win from 103.7 FM and AM 710 KCMO.
Tanning, indoors or out, increases your risk of skin cancer, including melanoma, the second most common cancer in young adults and the leading cause of cancer death in women 25 to 30.
Tanning doesn't make me look healthier. My ambition does.
Tanning doesn't make me stand out. My drive does.
Tanning can cause wrinkles, age spots, and even melanoma, the cancer that kills one person every hour. And using tanning beds significantly increases your risk of developing melanoma.
Tanning doesn't make me glow. My individuality does.
Tanning doesn't make me feel better about myself.
I got the job.
Yeah.
Congrats.
My confidence does.
Tanning doesn't make you more beautiful. It only makes you more at risk. Stop tanning. Learn more at spotskincancer.org. A message from the American Academy of Dermatology.
Are we on?
Good morning. You've got Religion on the Line here at KCMO Radio, 710 on your AM radio dial. Are we all hearing each other? And
I'm hearing you, yeah.
And Michael, is your mic on?
Yeah.
It's not on for me.
Is it on now?
Not necessarily.
It ain't necessarily
so. Okay, well, we'll get to it. Steve, is your mic on?
No.
Okay.
Okay, well, then it's just going to be you and me talking.
Well, we'll see here. No. No,
all right.
We need to get all the mics on here now, and I think we're all on now.
Oh, hi. Do you know what this is the sound of? It's the sound of me getting rewarded for doing my part to prevent wildfires. See, right now I'm getting a big, remarkably heartfelt bear hug from Smokey Bear. Thanks, big guy. And now we're shaking. Okay. First, I made sure there were no low-hanging branches when I set up my campfire. Hey, Smokey, let me down for just a second. I need to make sure everyone can hear this. There we go. Then, when we were packing up to leave, I drowned out my campfire, stirred it, drowned it out again, and then made sure to feel it if it was cold. Oh, Smokey Bear! chair really loves it when you do that, don't you, Smokey? Oh, he lets his hugs do the talking. Visit SmokeyBear.com to learn tips to prevent wildfires.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Loan is a 30-year fixed-rate loan with a 1-0 lender paid buy-down. Reduced payment valid only during the first 12 months. Monthly payment during the first 12 months of your loan is based on a rate that is 1% lower than your interest rate for this loan program. Not all applicants will qualify. Rates and terms subject to change. NMLS 6606, Equal Housing Lender. Call 888-369-6455 for licensing information.
I'm Rick Arviello, CEO of New American Funding, and we have just introduced a no-points, no-lender-fee 30-year fixed-rate mortgage at 3 5/8%, 3.57 APR, with the first full year's payment at only 2 5/8%. At New American Funding, we figured out a way to give you more of your savings right up front. Your payment at 2 5/8% fixed rate in year one and 3.57% APR for the remaining 29 years with 0 points and zero lender fees. This is for purchase or refinance. Even if you just got your loan, we might be able to really save you money. Isn't it worth a 10-minute call to find out?
Call New American Funding today at 800-963-4933. That's 800-963-4933. Or simply dial #250 from any mobile phone. Keyword, get that rate.
Your values and interests are worth talking about. That's what we do, 7 days a week, on KCMO Talk Radio 103.7 FM, AM 710.
Good morning. You've got Religion on the Line in our final segment this morning, and we're grateful for you being part of the conversation. Thanks for lighting up our board like a Christmas tree. We hope that we'll get to all the callers in these last minutes. I'm Reverend Robert Lee Hill, Minister Emeritus of Community Christian Church, along with
Bill Scholl, Social Justice Consultant for the Archdiocese of Kansas City, Kansas, along with
Rabbi Michael Zedek, Rabbi Emeritus, Temple B'nai Yehuda, along with
Steve Mencher from KCPT's Beyond Belief Project.
All right, Jim, Toxic Friends to You was leading into, or that topic and our responses was leading into Right and Wrong. Go ahead and apply it, and we'll try to quickly deal with it.
Well, as your caller before me was questioning how you determine right and wrong, we need to have some basis there. Am I to take from you fellows that there just is no wrong?
No.
I would never say that.
We would never. None of us say that.
Okay. So how do we determine what is right and wrong?
We tried to answer that before.
Situationally is the real response, and we can't get past that for the moment because you got to have a particular situation, and then you make your judgments. You bring who you are and the traditions of which you are part of, and maybe this is a new thing. That's rare, but it is possible. But call another time with a specific, and we'll wrestle with you.
Well, so right and wrong is an individual.
No, we're not saying
that. No, we're not saying that. And we've already given our reasons that.
Let's move on.
Yeah, Jim, we answered it last time. If it's not the answer you were looking for and the answer you really believe is the right one, we just have to agree to disagree. But we think that we have reasons. They may not be the same reasons as the caller before or your reasons, but we do have mandates for right and wrong, and we thought that we had enumerated them. We'll talk to you later, okay?
Okay.
All right. We're going to go to Bill. Bill, you've got Religion on the Line.
Earlier in the show, you were talking about Americans. I don't know. I got to thinking about the news this last week, all those individuals that died there at the Mediterranean trying to make it, I think, to Italy. And what was it they trying to escape from, and what is it they planned on getting when they got to their destination? And, of course, the people that lured them onto the boat, and I don't know whether they took monies or whatever to lure them on there.
It's likely they did.
Yeah.
Well, people are trying to get to America, and I'm trying to figure out, okay, America is not a good place. We all talk about
that. Wait. The folks you're talking about are not trying to get to America, as far as we know. They are trying to get a better life and escape from the probabilities of violence and death and economic hardship also. But those folks are trying to get to Europe.
Yeah, in Italy, I was there 4 years, stationed in the military, and the government there was giving incentives to the Italian people to have children, tax breaks and things like that. And somebody's talking about earlier having kids and stuff and trying to there was the Italian government was concerned about the rollover of the people that's in numbers that has controlling numbers in the country. In other words, it's no longer an Italian culture; it's some other culture, and they are actually giving tax breaks to the young people, childbearing age, to have children.
You know, I never heard the argument that the reason is they're worried about the survival of Italian culture as much as they're worried about the social safety net as populations in Europe are aging.
So Bill, what's your question, or what was your statement? I mean, I think we would agree, or at least in the Western world, it does seem there's a trend where the birth rate is not keeping up with replacement rate. I think, you know, you need a birth rate of like 2.2, like on average, every woman needs to have 2.2 children in order just to maintain your population size. And for a long time now, in the Western world, at least, we haven't had replacement rates. And
again, I would just point you to Tobin Grant's opinion on this. In go to Religion News Service and look at Tobin Grant, TobinGrant, where he dispels those concerns about population growth or lack thereof.
All I want to say is that I think America is a great place, and that's why people are wanting to come here, and that when they're trying to escape from something that's not good, and they think that there's a great opportunity here, which I think there is.
Mm-hmm.
And, it's like, okay, if when they come here, though, do they want to take it? Do they want to change America to back like where they come from, or do they want to find out what it is that originally Americans came here to escape?
Opened up a whole nother conversation about immigration. By the way, most of the people from Central America and Mexico that want to come here and come here illegally want to be Americanized and assimilated in ways that are beyond our – we don't have enough time to talk about it this morning.
Right. Even get the book The Uprooted. The Uprooted. It's a remarkable volume written in the 50s about immigrant experience in America.
Okay.
We thank you for your call, Bill. Do you have enough coasters?
Yes, I do.
Take care. All right. We're going to try to get to Doug. We're going to try to get to Doug on Gender Bender.
Yeah, I didn't want to bring up that argument like you guys don't want to, but I thought it would help everybody that knows when they come to the Lord that they know what's right or wrong already. But I wanted to compliment you guys for trying to connect, because we're trying to heal the sick. We're trying to save people from what their problem is. That's what the Lord told the Pharisees and Sadducees. I didn't come here to save the saved.
Yeah, actually, and the people in the religious that were the most religious were the ones that Jesus had the most trouble with. We thank you for your call, Doug. We got to go, but thank you
call
for your reminder.
Next week.
And I'm Reverend Robert Lee Hill, Minister Emeritus of Community Christian Church, along with
Bill Scholl, Archdiocese of Kansas City, Kansas, along with
Rabbi Michael Zedek, Rabbi Emeritus Temple B'nai Yehuda in the studio today, along with
Steve Mencher from KCBT's Beyond Belief, a project of local lore, finding America.
And together we're glad.
I got one. One thing we say when we greet correctly.
God bless.
Mustang. My pit crew keeps my car and my tires rolling safely during races. But you don't need a pit crew to be tire smart. You can find your vehicle's recommended tire pressure in the owner's manual or on a sticker on the driver's side door. Check tire pressure at least once a month and before every long journey. And don't forget the spare.
For more information, visit BeTireSmart.org. A message from the Rubber Manufacturers Association.
Life after military service is different. Many veterans find transitioning difficult, feeling lost and uncertain about the future. These feelings don't take away from a veteran's strength, courage, or sense of duty. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, the power of one person, one connection, one act of compassion can make a difference. For free 24/7 confidential support, call the Veterans Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1, or visit veteranscrisisline.net.
KCMO Kansas City, 103.7 FM and AM 710. Your home for talk and CBS.